World War I dogfight reenactment ends with tragic realism. A Cessna twin collides with an ultralight over England. And Iran claims to be on the doorstep of achieving Earth orbit. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, August 19th, 2008. The world-famous old Rhinebeck Aerodrome suffered a tragedy late Sunday when a simulated dogfight ended in the fatal crash of a replica French World War I biplane. The simulation was part of a scheduled aerial performance for the New York area tourist attraction. The other plane, a German warbird thought to be a replica World War I Fokker DR-1 triplane, landed safely. There was no report of any mid-air contact between the planes before that crash. The old Rhinebeck Aerodrome is a well-known northeastern aviation museum and airfield, first conceived by the legendary Cole Palin, who passed away in 1993. Maintained as a true living museum of antique aviation in Rhinebeck, New York, the organization presents one of the largest collections of early airplanes in the world, many of which fly during weekend air shows. The accident happened about 4 p.m. Eastern Time Sunday. The pilot has yet to be officially identified. A witness, Roger Christianfeld of Poughkeepsie, New York, was attending the show with his family. He told local media the French plane went into a spin and crashed behind some trees. Quote, "It was surreal. One minute it was pretend danger, then it went suddenly to real danger." Unquote. British investigators are working to determine what led to Sunday's fatal mid-air collision between a Cessna light twin and a single-seat ultralight near Coventry Airport in Warwickshire. BBC reports the planes collided on approach to land at Coventry, with both disintegrating on impact. The ultralight came down near the site of the collision, about 2 miles from the runway. Wreckage from the twin, identified in press reports as a Cessna 402, came down in a wooded area near Coombe Abbey Country Park. The pilot and three passengers on board the Cessna were lost, as was the ultralight pilot. Investigators have recovered wreckage from the ultralight as well as that pilot's body. The C-402 was operated by Reconnaissance Ventures Limited, a local land survey company, and was returning from a routine survey mission. RVL Managing Director Colin Dennis related, quote, "It was approximately 2 miles from the runway. We believe it had been cleared to land by Coventry Airport Air Traffic Control when it was in collision with a smaller single-engine light aircraft, which was also hoping to land at Coventry," unquote. State media in Iran is bragging about the successful test of a rocket Saturday, one supposedly capable of launching a satellite into Earth orbit. The Pentagon says, in your dreams, CNN reports a senior U.S. defense official, who asked to remain anonymous due to the sensitivity of the topic, said Monday that the rocket, quote, "did not perform as designed," unquote. Iranian media pictured President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad looking proudly at the rocket before the launch. CNN's source reported the U.S. intelligence assessment shows that while the vehicle could have been capable of reaching orbit, the second stage, quote, "was erratic and out of control," unquote. Another source told the cable network that nearby monitoring of the Iranian test was conducted from the USS Russell in the Persian Gulf using radar. National Security Council spokesman Gordon Jandro framed his reaction in terms of the ongoing Iranian nuclear weapons program. Quote, "The Iranian development and testing of rockets is troubling and raises further questions about their intentions. This action and dual-use possibilities for their ballistic missile program have been a subject of discussions and are inconsistent with their UN Security Council obligations," unquote. Up next on ANN, a suicidal pilot in a 172 is successfully talked down. Look for empty airliner seats over Labor Day weekend. And U.S. airports join U.S. airlines in fighting slot auctions. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 19th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Authorities now say the pilot of a stolen Cessna 172 who took off from Roanoke Regional Airport Monday morning and circled a mall for hours, talking by radio of suicide, later landed back at the airport without incident. The Associated Press reports the unnamed pilot landed the plane about 2:30 p.m. Eastern, about 3.5 hours after taking off. Franklin County Administrator Rick Huff said earlier the plane's pilot, quote, has given some indication that he intends to commit suicide in the plane, unquote. The mall and high-rise apartment complex circled by the aircraft were both evacuated by authorities, and Huff said officials remained in contact with the pilot throughout the ordeal. Several U.S. domestic airlines have announced capacity cuts to be implemented in September, but passengers aren't waiting. The Air Transport Association tells the Associated Press it expects a drop in Labor Day holiday air travel of nearly 7% from last year. This year's official holiday period is August 27th through September 3rd. ATA predicts international air travel will be up slightly, but not enough to counter the drop in the much larger domestic market, where travelers have been battered all summer with new fees and increased fares blamed on fuel prices. ATA President James May observed on Monday, quote, economic uncertainty and the heavy hit from sky-high energy prices mean that many vacation and business travelers are choosing to stay closer to home if they go at all, unquote. The airlines also report passenger traffic was down substantially during June and July compared to those same months last year. In addition to its usual advisories to check in from home by computer ahead of time, arrive early at the airport, be aware of TSA security rules when packing, ATA adds a new warning this Labor Day. Check your airline's internet site for any new fees, such as checked bag charges, to avoid a costly surprise at check-in. It's not just the airlines that are upset with the FAA's plan to experiment with landing slot auctions at Newark Liberty. The Airports Council International North America, the largest trade association for the nation's 366 commercial airports, filed comments on Monday opposing the slot auction scheduled for September 3rd. ACINA also filed comments supporting the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey in its proposed action. That's a legal notice warning the FAA that JFK, Newark, and LaGuardia will refuse to accept any flights which result from the auction. ACINA President Greg Principato reiterated that FAA should defer to local initiatives to resolve problems of congestion and delay. Quote, instead of pursuing its misconceived slot auction proposal, the FAA should work collaboratively with the Port Authority and the air carriers to develop and implement a reasonable and effective program of congestion management, unquote. The Air Transport Association sued the DOT and the FAA earlier this month to stop the experiment. Still ahead, the Air Force and Air National Guard welcome visitors in Nebraska. Avemco offers a new insurance option for part-time CFIs. And summer thunderstorms don't get any tougher than they do in Tampa. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 GTS. Go ahead, indulge yourself. The SR20 GTS provides entry-level luxury into the world of Cirrus, yet at a price that makes indulgence affordable. When friends, family, and business associates experience the versatility, freedom, and sheer fun of flying in your Cirrus, they'll see that it maximizes the most precious commodity of all, time. To learn more, call 888-750-9922. Or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. One reason that they can say that is because of Clarity Aloft's flexible boom arm. This featherweight band is the same one sported by stage musicians and performers the world over. Balance and comfort are the result of its elegantly simple design. The mic boom is easily repositioned for eating and drinking during flight without disturbing your earpieces. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, August 19th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. a celebration called Air Force Week in the Heartland, got a boost last Wednesday as airmen brought current and future operations to the historic Strategic Air and Space Museum in Omaha, Nebraska. At a venue famous for General Curtis LeMay exhibits, numerous aircraft, and the home base for looking back at the Air Force's former Strategic Air Command, lively crowds saw a large display of Air Force Week contest winners from school students, ranging from kindergarten through 12th grade, showcasing support of the service. Visitors were also treated to an Air Force Space Command display, flight simulators, the Air Force chopper, an ICBM presentation, a Pratt & Whitney F-100 engine used in the F-16 Fighting Falcon, and even a mini F-22 Raptor. Master Sergeant Alden Harriman, an in-service recruiter with the 170th Group at Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, fielded questions from the visitors. Quote, "A lot of questions we get is what's the difference between the Air National Guard and the Air Force Reserve and the active duty and Air National Guard? A lot of times we're known as the hometown Air Force. We have deep ties with the community. We all have the same rank structure, the same type of training. One's just more of a part-time component as opposed to a full-time component," unquote. A large number of kids also got a close look at the military in a non-threatening environment. Thousands of part-time flight instructors who use their own planes to teach students now have a new, affordable option for insurance coverage. Avemco Insurance Company says it recently launched new specialty insurance coverage for part-time CFIs who provide instruction that is incidental to their aircraft ownership. Previously, the only insurance available for these owners was commercial coverage designed for full-time flight instruction operations and businesses. Avemco Executive VP Jim Lauerman explained, quote, "It is much more affordable than typical flight school policies. In fact, it can be 30% lower or more than traditional coverage in some cases. Our hope is to facilitate an increase in the number of qualified, experienced flight instructors available to the general aviation community, offering more options for people seeking any form of flight instruction," unquote. Avemco CFI is available in most states and officially came on the market August 1st. And finally, if you think it's tough dodging thunderstorms as a pilot, imagine what ATC faces in Central Florida. A band stretching across Orlando and Tampa is the most active thunderstorm region in the world. In the hot summer months, when thunderstorms are most active, controllers there really get tested. The Tampa Tribune recently chronicled the challenges faced by and overcome by controllers at Tampa International Airport, including nearby military training areas. Some unusual procedures are part of the FAA's Severe Weather Avoidance Plan, or SWAP. One of those tactics is called a cap-and-tunnel strategy. Arriving traffic is placed in a racetrack-shaped holding pattern, then vectored by ATC onto a single approach corridor. Inbound traffic is then directed to fly lower than usual to allow outbound planes to overfly arriving traffic with at least 1,000 feet vertical separation. Despite the weather, Tampa is consistently in the top 20 for on-time performance during summer months. Admittedly, that's partly due to the fact that Tampa's not a hub for any airline, but Rob Drawn, traffic management supervisor for the Jacksonville ARTCC, gives controllers much of the credit. Quote, "Work is more intense during SWAP, but air traffic controllers in Tampa, Orlando, and Jacksonville are awfully good at it. Compared with New York or Washington, the only time air traffic stops in Central Florida is when the thunderstorms are right over the field," unquote. Given how often they are right over the field, that's all the more impressive. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell asks three questions of pilots attending the annual Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association fly-in at AOPA headquarters in Frederick, Maryland. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.